Try. For Chaim HaKadosh, Parshas Vayikra, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Okay, not an easy Parsha. I hope people started looking at the Parsha a little bit this week. A lot of Karbanos. We have Olas, and we have Minchas, and we've got Shlamim, and we've got Chatas, and we've got Parhelm, Davar Shel Tzibur, we've got all sorts of interesting things. And you can imagine our Chaim HaKadosh, who we always try to find the pieces that are most nogeya al derech avoda. You can imagine it wasn't so easy this week to find pieces that he spends a lot of time. I mean, you could say he has a lot on this parsha. It's not like Bakuda; he has plenty to say, but many of the pieces are very, very long explanations and elaborations upon the medrash on Vayikra. The Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. What do we call the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra? As one of two names you could use. You could call it Torah's Kohanim, very fitting name, since Sefer Vayikra is all about Kohanim, or Sifra. Okay? He refers to it as Torah's Kohanim throughout, and he talks about different girsos, and he talks about things. Aliba de Hilchasa, again, Hilchasa de Mashiach, not halachos for our time, but halachos in terms of how these karbanos actually functioned. And it's a lot of good stuff. And you see the brilliance of the Or Chaim HaKadosh and his ability to tackle any area of halacha, areas that are very foreign to us. Okay, but I want to start with a piece that I think is more nogeya to us. And I want to focus on pieces that I think are a little bit more nogeya to just understanding Pashup Shad or broader things or inyanim of Avodas Hashem. So let's start with the piece that begins Vayikra El Moshe. Not the first piece. But if you go after that very long first piece, the second piece is titled Vayikra El Moshe Tzarech Ladas. What page?
Vav.
Vayikra al Moshe. The parsha begins. Vayikra al Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor. Hashem called to Moshe and he spoke to him from the ol moed, saying. Is this the first time God ever spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu? No. Why vayikra al Moshe? He called to Moshe. It doesn't say every time Hashem speaks to Moshe, vayikra al Moshe, that Hashem calls to Moshe. If you look in Torah's Kohanim, if you look in the Medrash actually says there are three times that a Kriya precedes a Dibur. By the Sneh, by Har Sinai, and Ba'o Moed. There are three times that Hashem has a Kriya before a Dibur, where there's a Vayikra al Moshe v'yadaber Hashem Elav, by the Sneh, by Har Sinai, and here, Me'o Moed. The Medrash says there's really not a tzad hashavah to any of these cases. So they're all outliers, meaning don't establish it as a rule that even though the Torah mentions it in three places, we should assume that there's always a kriya before a dibur. Not the case. Probably not true. So that means whenever there is a kriya before a dibur, we have to ask, why is there a kriya before a dibur? And that's the question that we're curious about here. In addition to several other questions. So Vayikra al Moshe. First of all, Tzarech Ladas, Lama Lo Hizkir Shem Makori. Who called to Moshe? Who's calling to Moshe? And he called to Moshe. Who called to Moshe? So he'll say, come on, go back to the end of Pekudei. We just ended Chumash Shmos. Ki Anan Hashem Ala Mishkan Yomam Ve'ish Tiel Laila Bo Le'inei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maseyam Chazak Chazak V'niz Chazek. So we know who's calling Moshe. But the Rechaim HaKadosh says, why don't you tell me who's calling Moshe? Tzarech ladas lam lo hizkir shem hakori. V'agam shizkir achar kach. And if you'll say, it's twofold ridiculous, it's obvious from the end of where we just ended Chumash Shmos, who's talking to Moshe. And more than that, the very next two words, v'yadaber Hashem elav. So I have to say, v'yakra Hashem el Moshe, v'yadaber Hashem elav. You're going to tell me, literally two words later, who's speaking? So what's wrong with Vayikra al-Moshe? So if you'll tell me his kira achar kach, if it says it immediately afterwards, min haroi laskir b'tchila, so I'll say back to you, why not tell me from the beginning? Why not say Vayikra Hashem al-Moshe v'yadaber elav? Why say Vayikra al-Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav? Why push off the name of Hashem? Umeila muvan ki hu amedaber kashomer v'yikra Hashem v'yedaber. Why not change it? Why not move the Shem Hashem to the beginning as opposed to a few words later?
Okay.
Says the Reb Chaim HaKadosh, I'll offer you three answers to this question. Number one, v'ulai, she'echav in a kosov lo'odiyu sa'atzumosav yisvarach, she'yikra b'kol gado v'lo yishma'enu zulas es asher yachpons. It comes to show us, to reveal to us, to display before us, sa'atzumosav. What does sa'atzumos mean? Recognize that word? Recognize that word? You're thinking, your head saying like Satsumo, Satsumo, I can hear it. Where do we have it? Right, Hakel b'Satsumo Suzecha, every Shabbos, right before Nishmas, Kochai. We say Hakel b'Satsumo Suzecha. What is Satsumo? Power, strength, omnipotence, the power of Hashem. V'ulai she'achavin ha'kosav lo'odiyu Satsumosav yisbarach. Look at the power of Hashem. And look how precise Hashem's power is. That what? Sheyikra b'kol gadol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls in a loud voice. V'lo yishma'enu zulas es asher yachpot. And yet, it can only be heard by the one who's meant to hear it. It can only be heard by the one who's meant to hear it. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is screaming right now in the world. But only one who's roy to hear it, who prepares himself to hear it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to hear it, is Zochet to hear. We have Mishnayis, we have Mamari Chazal, that talk about what? A baskol that's Yoseis kol yom vayom. A baskol that screams out every day from Har Choriv. Oilem lebrios me'al bonus shel Torah. Where's the baskol? Why don't we hear it? How come no one hears the baskol? Right? There's a baskol that screams, Shuvu banim shovavim. Return to me. Why don't we hear the baskol? Why don't we hear it? The answer is, person has to make himself into a kli that's fit to be makabel. And if you're not a kli that's fit to be makabel the baskel, you won't be makabel the baskel. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always screaming in a loud voice. From the time of Har Sinai, Hashem's voice has been roaring in the world. What pasuk tells me that for sure? Anyone know a pasuk that tells me that Hashem's voice never stopped? The pasuk says about Hashem's voice at Har Sinai, it was a kol gadol v'lo yasaf. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. What does lo yasaf mean? Unkelis, Rashi quotes it, lo pasak. A voice that never stopped. It means Hashem is screaming in the world. Remember the Maisa with Rav Yechezkel Abramsky? When Yechezkel Abramsky was taken into captivity, he was sent to a Siberian work camp. And at one point he was being interrogated for his terrible crimes of teaching Torah. And the Russia was interrogating him, started screaming in his face. And he says to him, have you ever heard a voice as loud as mine? Trying to intimidate him. And he says, yes, in fact, right now I hear a voice that's louder than yours. The voice of Hashem at Har Sinai. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. The voice of Hashem that never stopped. For a tzaddik, you're not loud, you're not intimidating, you're not big. Hashem is a kol gadol. Kel b'tzatzumos huzecha. Look at the strength of Hashem. That Hashem can pronounce declarations to the world in a loud voice, and only the one who's fit to hear it hears it. V'hu omro vayikra el Moshe. So now we understand vayikra. Moshe, he called to Moshe. She'agam shekara lo nishma hadibur ela el Moshe. Vayikra, he called el Moshe. Even though he was calling, it was only el Moshe. V'lo l'misha lefanov. But not anyone else who was standing around. They didn't hear. U'lefizeh. So again, we didn't answer the question yet. So why does the pasuk not tell us who's calling? Why does hiding Hashem's name emphasize this point? To say Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, to say that the voice of Hashem, which is loud in the world, was El Moshe, you might say, Hashem's voice is very loud, right? But as it's being given over to Moshe, it's a kol namuch, it's a quiet voice to make sure that no one else hears. That's not such a chiddush. That someone who has a loud voice can speak in a whisper to someone who he wants to confide in. That's not a chiddush. The chiddush is that Hashem could be screaming and still only Moshe could hear it. So Vayikra al Moshe. So how does hiding Hashem's name show that? Lezeh Amar Vayikra al Moshe. That's the chiddush. That's the pella. Perish. Ki gam legabe Moshe haisa kriya b'kol gadol. Sheshama kol gadol. Vayikra. We want to emphasize the Vayikra. We don't want to emphasize the Hashem al Moshe, because that implies that it's a private conversation between Hashem and Moshe. We just want to scream in the world, Vayikra. And it went, the scream came, al Moshe. Why didn't anyone else hear it? Wow, that's amazing. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be loud, right? And at the same time, only Moshe is makavlet. Hein, hein, no, rosav yisbarach shalom shamazulasa. That's a wondrous thing. To say something out loud that only one person could hear, I don't think any of us know how to do that. To whisper something to another person, we understand. But to say something out loud that only one person could hear, is a chiddush of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Vayikra, there was a Vayikra. Don't focus on Hashem el Moshe. That makes it too personal, too much one-on-one. There's a Vayikra in the world, and it was El Moshe. That's a chiddush. So Asemis, by the way, writes in Parshas Lech Lecha, it's always kedai to review this point. Svasemis, remember this? Svasemis, you made it look like you remember. Svasemis in Lech Lecha says that Hashem also said Lech Lecha Me'artzecha to the whole world. Hashem, it's a big chiddush. Svasemis says that Hashem said Lech Lecha Me'artzecha to the whole world, and only one man decided to respond. Who was it? Avraham Avinu. He wasn't selected. He wasn't singled out. In answer to the question, why don't we know anything about Avram before that point? Right? He must have distinguished himself if God's going to speak to him. The answer is God didn't speak to him. God spoke to the world. There was only one person who cared to hear it. So Avram responded. Okay, so answer number one is that we see an unbelievable chiddush, a wondrous thing that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do, a kol gadol that was only accepted or received by the one who Asher Yachpot, the one who Hashem desires. Yes, quick question.
Two really quick questions.
Good.
First is, then why wouldn't Hashem, why would we always start off or accept any conversation Hashem has with
Vayikra? Good question. We haven't really answered why Dafka making this point here. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's not like it's such a secret that he's sharing with him. In fact, Moshe's going to go and then teach everything he learns to Klal Yisrael. And we're going to talk, we're going to emphasize how much Moshe teaches exactly what he got from Hashem to Klal Yisrael. So it's a very good question, and I don't have a simple answer. Part of your answer is found in a very long piece that we skipped over. So you're welcome to read that lengthy essay at your leisure. But part of the answer, in the way that you're really asking the question, I don't have the answer. Okay, something else? Okay. Good. Excellent. Okay, Od Nireh continues the Arachayim HaKadosh, a second explanation. Tam Shalo Hiskir Shemo Yisbarach B'Kriya. The reason Hashem's name is not mentioned here by the Kriya. Sheyotar Bachar Lamalas Hashem Laskir B'Dibur Shal Mitzvah Me'ala Kriya. This is Gevaldik. It's a huge yisod in the Vodas Hashem. What does he say here? Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. Sorry, not Vayikra. Vayikra El Moshe Vayedaber Hashem Elav. It would be repetitive to put Hashem's name twice. I think we all agree to that. To say Vayikra Hashem El Moshe Vayedaber Hashem Elav is repetitive. So I have to put the name of Hashem somewhere. So we said we put it by the Vayedaber as opposed to by the Vayikra. We gave one explanation emphasizing why Shem Hashem is not by the Vayikra. But now we're going to give a better explanation, or a different explanation, as to why Shem Hashem is by Vayedaber. Vayikra al Moshe Vayedaber Hashem Elav. What's more important? The Kriya or the Dibur? Now you're thinking, what does that mean? What's the nature of the Kriya? And what's the nature of the Dibur? So he says, Hashem would rather mention his name by the Dibur Shel Mitzvah more so than by the Kriya. She'ein ba ela hazmana ba'alma. The Kriya is an invitation. The Kriya is an invitation. O derech kavod l'fi ha-medrash. Or it's a sign of respect, honor for Moshe. And therefore, chevra, what's the orach? He's done. That's it. That's answer two. So what am I so nispal from? What should we all be so nispal from? What's he saying? What's the vart in Avodas Hashem? What's the lesson? The lesson is, There's the Kriya, there's the context, right, in which one is Mekabel the Dvar Hashem, and sometimes it's a very regal experience. But the Iker is the Dibur. The Iker is the takeaway. Am I Mekabel the Dvar Hashem? That shorish, by the way, Dalet Beis Reish, sometimes means hanhaga, to lead, to guide. Kriya is the setting in which it was transmitted. Dibor is how does it change my life? For example, you have a Gemara that we had last year in Sanhedrin, in the first parak. Dabar echad lador ve'ein shnei dabarim. There's only one dabar in each generation. A dabar means a leader. Or how about a pasuk that we know from Tehillim? Yadber amim tachtenu. Yadber doesn't mean anything to do with speaking to nations. Yadber amim tachtenu means let the nations be led beneath us. Let us lead the nations. So when Hashem says, I want to put my name by the dibor, more than I want to put my name by the kriya, in other words, the first luchos, which were given, as the Medrash says, with great ceremony, were destroyed. But the second luchos, which were given quietly, it didn't have all the outer trappings of the kriya. It didn't have the fireworks. But the dibor was maintained. So Hashem says, the ikar is the dibor, not the kriya. The ikar is, how does it change your life? What's the takeaway? Are you makabel the Dvar Hashem? More so than the particular context in which you're makabel the Dvar Hashem. Sometimes you could be at a very, you know, Rebbe Shematzev, yeah, but if you're not makabel the Dvar Hashem, so, you know, what's the difference between, remember the line I told you from the Piazzetta when everyone was coming that time to Shal Shudis? And he said, if you came here looking for a cup of beer, I'm not the cup you're going to drink out of. Like, if you're just looking for a good time, this is not what it's about. So that's what Kodesh Baruch, I think that's what Kodesh Baruch is saying here. That's what the Aruch Chaim is interpreting in Kodesh Baruch Hu's decision to put the word Hashem by the Dibor more so than by the Kriya. Gimel, a third answer. Od yesh l'seis tam kafi ha-medrash. She'amru shaya Aaron u'banav ha-zakenim omrim ein anu yodem eiza mehem chaviv l'fnei ha-makom. El mishe yikra Hashem. Aaron and his children and the Zakenim and Moshe Rabbeinu were standing around and they decided to have a conversation, which is usually not a good conversation to have, but they said, who does Hashem like the most? Who's most of our group? We have a lot of great people in this group. Who is Hashem's favorite? So they said, you know what? Whoever is makabel the Dvar Hashem, that's Hashem's favorite. So now they sat back and waited. Who's Hashem going to speak to? Vayikra el Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hinei lefize ein makom la'azkir shmo b'kriya. So therefore, the focus here is what? The focus here is that Moshe is being selected. Ki maimer vayikra hu inyan ha'avchana. Shayim etzapin la gedoli Yisrael l'mi yikra Hashem. That the gedoli Yisrael, it's an interesting lashon. That's like a modern way of talking. We talk about gedoli. No, it's not. Hundreds of years ago, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh said, Moshe, Aaron, Banav, Zakenim. The term that we use for the tzaddikim, the leaders of the generation, is Gedoli Yisrael. So the Gedoli Yisrael got together, and they said, who is most chaviv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let's see who Hashem calls to. Vayikra el Moshe. Lezein lomer ela vayikra el Moshe v'havein. And understand this well. That the vayikra is a selection of Moshe. Vayikra is a selection of Moshe. Now again, is that clear to us why Hashem's name can't appear there? But again, we want to focus on a kriya to Moshe, a selection of Moshe. V'havein, understand this because it's clear that he's not speaking 100% clearly. But he goes a little further and maybe it'll help us. U'lederech zayis yashiv mashish ledaktik od lam hotuch lomer el Moshe v'lo hispik ba'omer elav. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Vayikra el Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav. Why couldn't it just say Vayikra elav v'yadaber elav? We know who Hashem is talking to. We know who the one being spoken to is. It's clearly Moshe Rabbeinu. Go back to again the end of Pekudei. It's clear that Hashem is talking to Moshe. V'domo lezat timsa sh'amar akasav t'chidas parshas v'yera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre. Who's that? Who's Vayera elav? Hashem appeared to him in Elonei mamre. Who? Who did he appear to? Beginning of parshas Vayera. Avraham. Why doesn't it say Vayera Hashem? El Avraham. Why does it say Vayera Hashem may love? Because it's understood. V'lo hiskir l'mi nigla v'samach al zichron Avraham shoa parsha kodemes. K'mo kein haya lomar kein. K'ayka lomar kan. You could have done the same thing here. But according to what we've explained, lo kasha. The emphasis of Moshe being mentioned here is because, again, the kriya of Vayikra is not only a lashon of calling out, and it's not so much who's being called out. We don't want to focus on who's doing the calling. We want to focus on who is being selected. And therefore, Vayikra el Moshe. Moshe is the chosen one, the one who's been selected. Okay? Okay. Good. Let's turn the page. Find the next paragraph that begins with Derech Remes. He's still commenting on these opening psukim. Vayikra el Moshe v'yadavar Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor. Here is a very beautiful thing. This might be my favorite piece of the day, and it might be yours too. Uvederech Remes. You see it? What page? Fast. Uvederech Remes. Now, the way to navigate the Rachaim in this week's Parsha, the first thing I did to figure out how to get a footing in the Parsha, because he has these long pieces, it's just a good technique because he uses it a lot. You learn, again, the part of the beauty of learning a single sefer the whole year is that you learn the techniques, you learn the style. You can anticipate, what the Ruach Haim is going to do. Uvederech Remez is often the way, after he explains something at length in Halacha, he'll say, Uvederech Remez, we had a bunch of times in Mishpatim, we had a whole bunch of times, right? Uvederech Remez, here's how you could also understand these psukim. So if you want to find those pieces, just look for the paragraphs that begin with Derech Remes. So that's the first thing I kind of mapped out when I was looking at the Parsha in broad strokes before I tried to work my way through some of these harder pieces. Uvederech Remes Yirmos Sheyomer Moshe LiYisrael Sham Ba'ol Moed Kol Asher Yitzaveyu Hashem. Uvederech Remes, what does it mean? Vayikral Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Leimor Daber El B'nei Yisrael. I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to share everything that you are receiving in this very supernatural way, a booming voice being heard by one person. I want you to transmit that to Bnei Yisrael at the Ohel Moed. I want you to transmit it at the Ohel Moed. I don't want you to go somewhere else to transmit it. I want you to do it in the presence of the Mishkan. Why? He explains, Lazes Samach Me Ohel Moed Lemor. The Pasuk says again, Hashem spoke to Moshe, and he said to him, at the Ohel Moed Lemor. He told him that at the Ohel Moed, you should be Lemor. You should say to Bnei Yisrael, Perish, Misham Yomar Hu Yisrael. That there, at that place, at the Ohel Moed, you should transmit the Dvar Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. Why? Why can't they go somewhere else to continue to relate the Word of God? The Yesh Bezet Tuv Tam, and there's a very good explanation for this, Kedeshia Eimas Hadibur Al Shom Av Lifnei HaMelech HaMetzava Baruch Hu. Because even though Bnei Yisrael didn't hear it directly from the king, they know that if they're standing at the Ohel Moed, they still feel what? Someone give me a term from our Yichud Shirim. Baal of the ear. That's right. Baal of the ear. Exactly. They feel Hashem's presence. You can't see God. You don't hear God. He's not going to walk in. Right? But look what he said. Eimas hadibur al shomav, because the Melech is present. Ah, but the Melech fills the whole world. Leis asar panoi minei. There's no place devoid of him. Lo la'ilav lo la'tata. Hashem's everywhere. Yeah? But still standing by the Ohel Moed, standing in the makom of Hashras Hashchina, where the cloud rested upon the tent at the end of last week's Parsha, you better believe that people are going to listen much more carefully to the mitzvahs. Gam shiatzdiku oso biyoser. Kishyomer advarim lefanav yisparach shalo hosir velo hosif al devarav. A second advantage of standing by the Mishkan, a second advantage is that it's going to be matzdik es Moshe Rabbeinu. It'll prove the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if he walks away from the Ohel Moed and Moshe starts telling them the message, they might say, he's saying it over in his own ways. Maybe he's adding a little, he's taking out a little bit. Moshe's also standing in front of the Melech. So in the presence of the king, Moshe's also going to make sure that he shares the words precisely. Not that Moshe is suspect, but we don't want Bnei Yisrael to suspect Moshe Rabbeinu. So by having the conversation at the Ohel Moed, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael will take Moshe more seriously. Okay, so they'll take the Dvar Hashem more seriously, and they'll take Moshe more seriously. Od Yirmaz al Derech, al Zeh Derech. Furthermore, we could say, Ohel Moed. And he's putting together clusters of words in the pasuk. Right? We just explained Me Ohel Moed Lemor. That at the Ohel Moed Lemor, you should say to Bnei Yisrael. Now he's saying you could also say Elov Me Ohel Moed. What does that mean? Perish Shelo Hisig Lidvar Hashem Elov. El Tzad Shemachal Hashem Al Avon Ha'egel V'Shachan Ba'Ohel Moed La'osu L'mofes. The truth is, these pieces are getting even, I'm enjoying them even more now that I'm learning them with you. They're getting bad. They're like, I knew this was a good one, but this is really good. What is he saying? A love me'ol moed. Moshe, you want to know why I'm talking to you, a love? You know why I'm talking to you? And here it's not even using Moshe's name, because it's taking away his name. A love, you know why? Me'ol moed. What was the Mishkan about? We've learned in previous weeks that the Mishkan is all about Tikkun Chet Ha'egel. So if you want to know why a love, why I'm talking to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's because of Olmoed. It's because there's a Mishkan that Klal Yisrael built to be metaken for Chet Ha'egel, that in my love of Klal Yisrael, I talk to you, Moshe. But realize, your greatness is only dependent upon Klal Yisrael. Peyush, Shalohi Siglu Devar Hashem, a love. The only reason that you were makabel is Litzad Shemachal Hashem al Avon Egel, Vishachan Ba'ol Moed La'osu L'mofes. And the fact that I'm in the Ol Moed is a proof that I have forgiven the Jewish people. Avalim Lohai Samechil Yisrael, Aramuza Ba'ol Moed, Lohai Hashem Edabre love. But if not for the forgiveness of Bnei Yisrael, and the Hashras Hashchina by the Ol Moed, Hashem says, Moshe, I wouldn't talk to you. Va'amr Losha Yomer Dover Zel Yisrael. Now I want you to share that with Bnei Yisrael. So we've seen this quite a few times, where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should just realize that all of your godless is entirely dependent upon Klal Yisrael. Their success is your success. Their failure is your failure. Your honor is their honor. Okay? It's an important idea to see again the sense of the Klal. But again, furthermore, he says, the idea of Lamor is as follows. V'timsa she'amru sham b'toras kohanim lemor emor lehem divrei kibushim b'shvilcha medaber imi ad kan v'hu mechuban l'peirushenu. Speak to them words of rebuke, words of tochacha, words of musar. Ela she'drashasam kula mitevas lemor v'lo midikta kakosav she'amarnu. Chazal are emphasizing the lemor that Moshe, you should talk to Bnei Yisrael about their avera, you should give them musar, you should help them do tshuva. And like we learned on Sunday, they should be able to move on with their lives. But says the Rechaim, the Chazar is focusing on Lamor. I'm focusing on what? A love me'ol moed Lamor. That's Dafka Hashem speaking to Moshe because there is an ol moed, which is a proof of their forgiveness. Okay, let's go for it. V'ulai shagam Rabbi Hussein Uzal. Oh, sorry, Zoe Kavadasim. Good. Od Amru Chazal. Ready? Watch this. Chazal saying Toras Kohanim, Yochol Hayim Medaber Imo Litzorech Atzmo. Doesn't get more foolish than that. You might think that Hashem is speaking to Moshe because of Moshe. Talmud Lomar Lemor Bishvil Yisrael Hayimadaber Imo Velo Bishvil Atzmo Ad Kan. That Hashem spoke to Moshe because of Bnei Yisrael, not for Moshe's sake. The Torah is not being given to you, Moshe, for you. Yes, I'm giving you the Torah, but I'm giving it to you to share it with Klal Yisrael. And that's how every Jew, by the way, has to feel, especially the Jew who carries the name Moshe. What do I mean by the name Moshe? Not that you're named that you're Bris Moshe, but like the Gemara says, Moshe Shapir Ka'amris, a Talmud Chacham. When a person learns a lot of Torah, yeah, when a Talmud Chacham becomes outstanding in Torah, and he becomes, so to speak, the Moshe of the generation, he has to remind himself time and time again, it's not about my own accomplishments in learning. I am a Tzinor. I'm a conduit. I'm a channel. I'm a pipeline to Klal Yisrael. And my job is to what? Is to keep sharing Torah with the Jewish people. What was one of the most painful moments of Moshe Rabbeinu's life?
He couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael.
True. What else? Why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael?
He killed the Jew. Oh, and he threw the word was down, bro.
Why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Marin Sota, Daf Yudal, he wants to keep doing mitzvos. Maybe he wants to teach Bnei Yisrael, the mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael. One of the most painful moments of Moshe's life is when Hashem taught him the secret of the Paraduma. Yeah? Zos Chukas Ha Torah. Good. Not Ha Para. Zos Chukas Ha Torah. Parshas Chukas. We had it Parshas Para a couple weeks ago. Yeah? Zos Chukas Ha Torah. Says Unkelis, Da Gzeiras Oraisa. This is the Gzeira of the Torah. Gzeira? Gezerah is a very negative word. Look in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tanios. Magen Avraham says Gezerah always means a bad decree. Gezerah means that they're gonna destroy the Jewish people, right? Gezerah, has everyone come to the shul, we heard that there's a Gezerah against the Jewish community. Gezerah has a negative connotation. So what's the Gezerah? What's negative about Zos Chukas HaTorah? Shteitin Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that what? The Gezeirah was that Moshe Rabbeinu knew the secret of Parah Aduma, but he was sworn to secrecy. And that, for Moshe Rabbeinu, was a Gezeirah. To not be able to share Torah, for someone like Moshe, is painful. You hear? I have such a good... I have the deepest secret of the Torah, the Parah Aduma, and I'm not allowed to share it with you. I'm the only one who understands it. That was a painful experience for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what this Medrash is saying. That Moshe, you have to understand that everything that's being given to you is not free, it's for Klal Yisrael. And Moshe did understand that. He wanted very badly to share the Torah with the Jewish people. So now, look what he writes. Kavanas devrayim ki tevas lemor miyot hi lemayit shaloya dibur lemoshe zulas mishvil Yisrael. The only reason Hashem spoke to Moshe is lemor, so that he should say it to Klal Yisrael, lidavar lehem. Mikan atalamid shalo dibur Hashem and Moshe ele devray Torah shemasvil Yisrael. That everything that Moshe got, Klal Yisrael got. V'hu maimer hatayna. And this is what's hinted to in Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai u'misar el Yoshua. That Moshe got the Torah at Har Sinai, and he gave it over to Yoshua. Halamata, look at this line. Shekol Moshe kibel masar. Everything that Moshe got, he gave to Klal Yisrael. Everything that Moshe got, he gave to Klal Yisrael. U'mikan atolami. Shalo hodiu Hashem sod shalo limdu es Yisrael. There was no secret that Moshe received that he did not share with Bnei Yisrael. So I just contradicted myself because I just told you there was one secret that Moshe did not share with Klal Yisrael. He wasn't allowed to share with Klal Yisrael. Okay, had he fit the Chassam Sofer in with the Zohar Chaim HaKadosh Tzarech Iyan. But there is no secret, even if there is that one exception, there's no, basically no secret that Moshe received at Har Sinai that he didn't share with Bnei Yisrael. Yeah, you can be off by one in the Gematria. Okay, good. So yeah, we're off by one here. V'hushvu Yisrael l'Moshe b'yediyah. Listen to this. The Jews at that time were on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of their understanding. Elishuhu laman mipi agvura v'Yisrael mipi ish. That's amazing. To think that Klal Yisrael didn't get a watered down version of the Torah, they got the real thing. And that's also a very chashuv yisod. That when you transmit Torah to someone, give them real Torah. Sometimes people think, you know, if I'm in like a kiruv setting, I have to give some watered down version of Torah because they won't be able to handle the real thing. If they're Jewish, they will. Obviously, there's still a way to dress up the Torah. You know? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Yeah? What that's from? No one knows that line? Okay, just checking. I got nervous. Yeah, so you need sometimes to coat it in a certain way, but don't dilute it. Don't dilute the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu got Torah Hashem and he gave it straight to Klal Yisrael. The real thing, that the Yediyah's Klal Yisrael is on the same level of the Yediyah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Chashuv. I brought along the Maharal's Derech Chaim. The Maharal's Perish on Pirkei Avos. Because the Maharal says, he elaborates sort of on the point that Rechaim I think is hinting to here when he says, this is what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is saying. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai u'misar el Yoshua. Listen to the Maharal, again in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Derech Chaim. On the first Mishnah in Avos. It's not his opening comment. It's on page Yotess in a standard old print of the Maharal. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Amar Eitzel Moshe Lashon Kabbalah. So let me ask you like this. Everything Moshe got, he gave to Klal Yisrael. Did Moshe get everything there is to know about Torah? Did Moshe get everything there is possible to know about Torah? I would say no. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right? Moshe had 49 levels of understanding. Chamishim chaser achas. No one can understand everything about the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, says the Maharal, Moshe kibel. Says the Maharal, by Moshe it's a lashon kabbalah. What does that mean? He's makabel. Ki a makabel hu makabel afi kocho. A makabel is makabel according to his ability to receive. V'lo kibel Moshe kol haTorah. Moshe didn't get everything. Right? Moshe didn't get everything, but he got a lot. Imkein ef shalomer shekibel Moshe kol haTorah kula. He got what he could. But then, what language does he use when he gives it to Yeshua? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, u'misara u'Yoshua. And then he was moiser to Yeshua. Misara means what? He Moshe haya efshalo limser kol asher kibel li Yeshua. Moshe was able to give everything, whatever he got, he gave to Yoshua. That much he was able to do. Moshe kibal Torah mi Sinai. Yeah? Umasar li Yoshua. Yoshua li Zakenim. Vizakenim li Nevi'im. Vinevi'im la Chikneset Gedola. Good? But from the Anshei Knesset Gedola and onward, there was started to be Yeridus HaDoros. Avam Anshei Knesset Gedola Yischil HaDoros Lifchos Uleimait Kmo Shizbar B'Samuch. The generations got weaker. Ki Min Anshei Knesset Gedola Ve'Elech Yischil HaDoros Lema'ed V'Lakach Amar Antignos Ish Ksocho Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. But then the Mishnah in Avos in the first parak goes back to Lashon of Kibel, because they weren't able to makabel everything. Kibel means according to my ability to makabel. Misara means to transmit everything. Some learn this Mishnah differently, I will point out. But this is how Maharal learns it. That Moshe got as much as he could. He gave everything to Yeshua. Yeshua gave everything to the Zekeinim. Zekeinim to Nevi'im. Nevi'im to Anshei Knesset Gedola. But around that time there started to be a breakdown. That's the time that Machlokas starts in the Gemara. And that's around the time of Galus Yavon. Like Rav Hunter talks about in Pachad Yitzchak, was really a brach in disguise. Machlokas leads to a riboy of Torah. But that's how that's what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is saying here. Okay? That Klal Yisrael got everything from Moshe Rabbeinu. So you can make a little note of your Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, as I'm about to do now. Ayin Derech Chaim of the Maharal of Prague, page 19. Okay, let's go on. Right, let's do a couple lines from the next piece. Pasuk Beis. Daber al bnei Yisrael va'amarta alehem. Whenever you have a daber and an amarta, you have to wonder what's a dibor, what's a mira. What's the difference between dibor and a mira? So he gives something. He gives us a nice answer. Daber va'amarta. Kafa lomar daber va'amarta. It seems repetitive. Gamshina ledaber beis lashonos v'lo amar. Emor v'amarta. First of all, if you're going to say it twice, I'll say emor v'amarta. Why use two lashonos of speech and two different lashonos of speech? Daber v'amarta. So he says it could be it's talking about two types of karbanos. Because we're about to get into karbanos, chavra. It's only so long we can hide out in the first two psukim of the parsha. You know, at some point you got to go weiter. At some point you got to jump in. Yeah, karbanos is waiting for you. You got to jump in at some point. So he says, it could be it's talking about two types of karbanos. What is dibor and amira? Who knows? What's the general rule? We've had it a few times, yeah?
Dibor means it's yira, and amira means it's ava.
Beautiful. Dibor is lashon kasha. Dibor is usually more firm, strong speech, more mitzad yira, and amira is more ava.
It's like Elohim and Hashem.
Of Jojo Pasek. Very good. Sound good? Okay? Good. Sound good. Don't worry, I don't have too many piskei halacha either. Don't worry about it. Don't feel bad. We'll get there. Mirtz Hashem. Okay, so he says, Aleph, there's two types of karbanos here. Letzad shetziva Hashem l'shnei minei karban. There's a karban that you have to give, dibor, and there's a karban that you want to give. Meaning, there's a karban habal l'ratzon nidar v'nidav. There's the karban that can be brought as a neder or a nedava, something that's optional that you choose to give. But then there's also a karban that what? L'chaparas chet, ki yachta adam. So keneged ze amar daber, ki gzeras melech hualav chovas chatas harashum b'chol prat uprat. Dibor speaks about the karbanos that we're about to introduce that you have to bring. That there's a gzeras melech, harsh, absolute, decree. Dibor. You did it in the Vera? You need to bring a karban. But then there's also karban ola, which more often than not is being brought as a free will offering, as an eder or an adava. Ukeneged abal uratzon amar v'amarta aleihem. Ein ze el etzad romus v'kavod v'ein chova b'davar. Nice chat, no? There's dibur karbanos and there's amira karbanos. Okay? Then he says, we'll do two more lines here, and then we're going to turn to another piece. Then he says, od yirmaz gam al prat chatas hashigionos. Sheyesh be'am dimur lebechinas hachiyuv, va'amira shu letzad sheyitzratza Hashem lekabel behem atachas nefesh achotes. Then he says, no, it could be, for, you don't have to split it up, dimur and amira, two types of karbanos. Let's talk about one karban. Let's talk about a chatas. And let's say that yes, there's a dibur that demands that you bring it, but there's also an amira mitzad Kadosh Baruch Hu that he's willing to be mekabel it. That Hashem says you can do tshuva, and I can love you, even though I'm demanding of you to bring an expensive karba. Let's read the words inside again. It could be that the whole thing is referring to what? Al prat chatas hashigyonos. Again, it's referring specifically to the chatas. Sheyesh be'am dibur lebechinas hachiyuv. It's a dibur in the sense that you have to bring the karban. Va'amira shu litzad shi'itzratza Hashem lekabo behema tachas nefesh achotis. The fact that Hashem is willing to accept. That's a beautiful idea also. There's sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes us do things which are uncomfortable for us, but you know what? It's because He loves us. He's pushing us in a challenging way because He wants to get close to us, which is something we're going to come back to in a few minutes. Okay? The pasuk continues, Adam ki yakrim mikem. You can see the next dibur hamaschil. We're not going to do it inside. He raises in the next paragraph, in the second paragraph, Adam ki yakrim mikem. The Medrash Tanhuma is curious. Why does it say Adam ki yakrim? Why doesn't it say Ish ki yakrim? And the Medrash Tanhuma says it somehow hints back to the chait of Adam Arishon. Adam ki yakrim. That when you bring a karban, you should be thinking about the chait Adam Arishon. The Ruach Chaim goes on the next page and he says a very interesting thing. What happened when Adam sinned? This is a good one to file away, just as like a good Yediyah Klali. Yediyah Klalis. Yeah? Why? What happened when Adam sinned? What was his punishment? Hashem didn't say bring a carbon chatas. Hashem said, you're kicked out of Gan Eden, no second chances, you're going to die, you're supposed to live forever, whoa! And you do an Avera, you also reject Hashem, and you bring a cow, just, you bring a sheep, you bring a whatever, a goat, depending on the carbon. You bring a burr, you bring even a mincha. Yeah? And you're good. You work through it. And Hashem sometimes has patience with a person. He quotes the pasuk in Iyov, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pa'amayim Shalosh Im Gaver. Right? The pasuk in Amos, Al Gimel Pishe Yisrael V'Gomer. For three of errors I can forgive, for a fourth I can't forgive. But at least, usually get two or three chances. Why didn't Adam get any chances? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, it's hard for me to point you exactly to the piece. If you look for in the piece where you see Iyo of Perek Lamed Gimel being quoted, that's your best chance of probably finding it. It's a bunch of paragraphs in. But it's in a long paragraph in mine that begins with Medrash Tanhuma, in the middle of that paragraph. So he says the reason is because Adam was created B'Bechinas HaTov. That Adam was created very good. And because Adam was created very good, he didn't have soulless. Exactly, he didn't have Yetzirah. I'm starting to think George was a Gilgal of Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He's being mechavim to a lot of things today. I'm not sure what's going on. Should we vote on it?
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah?
George has the possum.
Yeah, so why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu not give Adam chances? Because Adam knows better. Adam knows better. You know better than that, Adam. But once Adam sins, and the world got dragged down, and it wasn't the first sin. When we do Averas, it's not the first time anyone ever did an Avera. Can you get me a Nikros Gadolos on Vayikra, please? Yeah. Someone has one? Yeah? No, it's okay. I don't want to... Hang on. Yeah? Okay, I'm sorry. You should have known better. I'm just reminded as I'm saying this out loud of something that I want to share with you. Adam ki yakrim mikem. Yeah? Adam ki yakrim mikem. Just realize when you bring that karban, your sin is really more severe than you think. Just go back to Adam Arishon. Think about what happened to him. Hashem is giving you the fact that you get to do tshuva with just a karban is a chiddush. Because really, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really operating by the letter of the law, Midas Adin, then really what? Then, the same way that Adam was very severely punished, you should be very severely punished. I once went to get an oil change. And I had a Mikros Gedolos Vayikra with me. And I was learning Das Sakenim of the Bali Tosos, because I find the Das Sakenim always say really amazing things. This probably goes back five years. And I'm sitting there in that like, you know, gas station oil change place, and I found the following part. And it's really, it's mamish beautiful. Listen to this. It's in our parsha. It's in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Beis, when it says, Nefesh Kisechta. What was the question over here? Why does it say Adam? Why doesn't it say Ish? Again, Medrash Tanchuma says because we have to think of Adam Rishon's Chet. And Adam got a much more severe penalty. But it was the first Avera, and he was much better. So he should have known better. So he was penalized more severely. But we're not Yitzir Kapov of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We weren't directly created by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hashem created the man, right? And he and his wife had children, and they had more children, and more children, and other children. So we're like a watered-down version of Adam Rishon. So okay, so Hashem doesn't take us so seriously. When we do a Avera, just bring a Chatas and we'll call it a day. However, if you think about it, is that really true? There's a part of ourself that's not watered down at all. That's not a derivative of a derivative of a derivative of a derivative. There's a part of us called the Neshama. The Neshama is what? It's Kli Rishon. It's the real thing. It's a Chelek HaLokal Mimah. So what does it say later in the Parsha? The Pasuk says in Perek Dalet, the Pasuk says, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabriel B'nei Yisrael Lemor, Nefesh Kisechta Bishkaga. Perek Dalet, where we introduce Chatas. Yeah? Perek Dalet is all about Chatas, different types of Chatas. Nefesh Kisechta. Nefesh Kisechta? When my soul did a sin? My soul doesn't do sins, my body does sins. Right? The Shaman doesn't do Averos. Listen to the Baal Tosfos. Ready? Adam ki yechta ink sivkan ela nefesh. It doesn't say when a person sins, when Adam sins. Right? I mean, here we're introducing Adam. That's what reminded me of it. But later it says nefesh ki yechta. Kachin nefesh hachotas hi tamus. Pasuk in Yecheskel, Yirches. That a sinful soul should die. A sinful soul. What do you mean a sinful soul? The soul is pure. Lehodia. The primary responsibility for the sin is the nefesh. Really? Imagine two people who sinned against the king. One was a foreigner, a tourist from a different land, and one was someone who lives in the king's palace, who works in the king's palace. A person who has an inside view of the palace, who knows how it looks from the inside. Helu shneim lebima ledun. The king takes both of them up to the platform to be judged. V'tziva melech liftor asenachri. He says to the tourist, "You disgraced our country, but we're not going to kill you for it. You didn't know better. Get out of here." They kick him out of the country. V'ez ben aplatrin ledun biyisurin. But the local, the one who lives in the capital city, the one who knows the hanhaga of the melech, he's not getting away with it. You know much better than that. So he's going to have to face very severe penalties. Why are you treating him? Why are you punishing him? Right? Why are you punishing the local more so than the tourist? They did the same avera. Amar Lam, the melech says, "Are you joking? This one, he doesn't understand who I am. He doesn't know what the melech is. This one is part of the royal family, who knows who I am. Upasha bi yatsa dina zeala. He deserves to be punished." So listen to this das the kingdom of the Baal Yatosos. Tacha guf hu nachri shenivar min tachtonim. The body has the following excuse: when the body pursues pleasures of this world, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to the body, "You don't know. Why would you know better? You're dirt. You're mamish dirt." Of course dirt wants to do dirty things. You're dirt. That's your mahus. But the neshama, which is from the Elyonim, Vendina Lios Tahora, the part of you that knows better, the part of you that is Adam Arishon, not the part of you that's a watered down version, you know, thousands of years later, the part of you that's a Kli Rishon, that has the neshama inside of it. Vendina Lios Tahora, Afilo Hachi Chata, it's supposed to be pure and you sinned. Lefira Haguf Hushlach Bekever, then neshama to kavli yisurin. The body is cast aside, and the neshama is the one that has to do the real suffering in Gehenna. Ulaasid lava kadosh baruch hu mevi guf and neshama v'dano sam, as the Gemara describes the judgment of the body and the soul. So what are the Baal Yatosos explaining here? They're explaining a very hard pasuk: nefesh kisechta, when the soul acts sinful, bring a carbon, because the soul knows better. It's a chashuv idea to think about. In a moment when a person is facing a nisayon, and his body wants to give in. So I say to the body, of course you want to give in. I understand why you want to give in. But my neshama has to know better. My neshama can't say, oh, I'm just a lowly neshama. No, my body is lowly. My world might be lowly. My neshama is mamish chelek al kamimal. So it's something to think about. It's something to think about here. As the Rachaim HaKadosh is giving us a big heter, and he's saying, well, you know, Adam ki yachta, I realize that when a person does an avera, remind yourself that there once was an Adam who has to answer a lot more than you do, and you can get away with things, you only bring a karbon, but Adam HaRishon had to face a much more severe penalty. Remind yourself, it's not so simple. Because later on it says what? Nefesh ki sechta. Because the nefesh is on the madrig of Adam HaRishon, the nefesh should know better. Okay? It's an important thing to think about. Alright, we have time for maybe one more. Alright, we didn't have any Kedushin references today. Let's have a quick Kedushin reference. Yeah? A quick Kedushin reference. Go to the piece, Pasuk Tes, Es HaKol. Pasuk Tes, Dibra Masel, Es HaKol. When you bring a carbon ola, right here, this Parak Aleph. Parak Aleph, Pasuk Tes. When you bring a carbon ola, V'kirbo u'krav, Yurchatz v'mayim, V'hiktira kohen, Es HaKol, HaMizbecha. A carbon ola, everything gets burnt. Es hakol, says the Medrash Torah Kohanim. Es lerabos hakarnayim v'hatolafayim. It comes to include the horns and the hooves. The horns and the hooves have to also be burnt. The thing about that in Machshava, the horn is the top, the hooves are the bottom. Carbon ola, es hakol, everything has to be burnt. What to think about there? But he quotes, jump down about 10 lines, where he asks the following question. He says, I'm just curious. he asks the question right away, and then he gives the answer a few lines down. The question is, V'kosho lamalo hikriv avram es haseh la'ola b'karnav, v'iniach karnav l'shofros kama amar v'zal pirkej b'liyasek. It's like a cute question, but it's deep. If you learn Pirkei Eliezer, it says that after the Akedah, right, when the animal replaced Yitzhak Avinu, it says that every bit of the animal was used for something. Every bit of the animal was used for something. From the horns, he made shofros, and it happens to be there's some very beautiful Torahs in different Svarim about look how Avram used every bit. Every bit of it was used for something. The Lord Chaim says, hold on a second. V'aleyu sham la'ola. Yitzhak's an ola. The isle that replaces Yitzhak is an ola. The halach of an ola is the horns get burnt. So why, according to the Medrash, did Avram take the horns to use them for very meaningful things, but they're supposed to get burnt? So you'll say, but the Torah hasn't been given yet. But it says in Maseches Kedushin that Avram keeps the whole Torah. Let's keep going. Jump down. He says, the answer could be a couple of things. Go to the answer that begins, Oh, F, Shar, Shah, Dain, Lo, Nitna, Torah. You could say that the Torah wasn't given yet. V'hagam, Sha'amru, Chazal. And even though Chazal tell us where, how many places in Chas do Chazal tell us that Avram kept the Torah? Two. Where are they? Yom HaChavches. And the last daf of Kedushin. That's correct. Kiyim Avram Avinu Afilu Eruvei Tavshilin. Avram kept the whole Torah. So don't tell me the Torah wasn't given yet. Avram knew the halacha. Chevra, we're about to learn an important, again, file this away. If you ever want to explore the sugya, did the Avos keep the Torah? So you'll say immediately, I know where to start. There's a Gemara in Yom and Kedushin that says Avram kept the whole Torah. So then you'll ask a critical question. Does that mean Yisrael kept the whole Torah? Did Yaakov keep the whole Torah? Or is that only Avram? Well, Yaakov is married to two wives. That's against the Torah. The Ramban says that's why Rachel dies. Rachel has to die as he's entering Eretz Yisrael. Maybe only in Eretz Yisrael he kept the Torah, but not in Chutz Laretz. But now file away this Or HaChaim HaKadosh and Parshas Vayikra, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. That what? That what does it mean Avram kept the whole Torah? Here we see he didn't keep the whole Torah. He didn't bring the carbon ola properly. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Kvar Ksavti B'Parshios Avos, Shezeh Hayil L'Ratzon, Kol She'ein Hechreach B'Davar Le'eza Sibas Zuchus. That what does it mean the Avos kept the whole Torah? It means they followed Hashem when it made sense to follow Hashem. When they saw value in following Hashem, and they thought this is an opportunity to get merit, they did it. But if they had an alternate cheshbon, in this case, that Avram wants to save these horns for some alternate purpose, which is also a meaningful purpose, Avram has the right to choose to not be bound by Torah. And that which he did bring the rest of it as a karbon, he got schar for it. But he doesn't have to follow the Torah. He follows it as much as he feels a need to follow the Torah. Kamo shetomer nisuei tamar liyuda, nisuei shtei achayos liyakov v'kadomeh. There are clear violations. You know who talks about this? Things that we would call an avera. We just said Avram did an avera, Yehuda and Tamar did an avera, Yaakov did an avera. What type of avera is this? We call this what? Avera lishma. When the Nefesh HaChaim talks about the avos doing things against Torah and lambast the chassidim for davening beyond the zman, he says the avos were allowed prior to the Torah to have alternate cheshbonos. What we would call a Avera Lishma. Because they're not bound by the Torah. But from the time the Torah was given, and myzmanim.com says you got to finish Shema by this time, don't tell me you're preparing for a better Shema. That's the halacha. This is one of the main tainas that the Nefesh HaChaim, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, had against the Chassidim. Again, you can read Nefesh HaChaim cover to cover, and I would tell you the main thing, the main complaint he has against the Chassidim, the most open thing he says against the Chassidim is the violation of Zman Tefillah. He liked a lot of the things. Reb Chaim Volozhiner liked a lot of things the Chassidim. He wasn't as anti as the Vilna Gaon. But this was the thing that he wrote about in a strong way. And again, we're bound by Torah. Okay? Good. So it's an interesting idea. Okay, last one for real for today. Let's do one last piece. Tough call. Alright, let's do oh, that's awesome. Alright, for those who are actively involved in Kiruv, which we all should be, whether it's more official or less official, you should take the time to make sure you look at Perek Dalid Pasuk Gimel La'ashma Sa'am. Okay, but we're not going to do that one together right now. I just want you to take note of that. The protection a person has when he's truly doing for others, to help to lift up others. But something that's more Shavu L'chol Nefesh that I want to end on is Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Let's end on Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Karbono LaHashem. Karbono LaHashem. Says the Pasuk, Ve'im min ha'of ola karbono LaHashem. If he brings a bird, a carbon for Hashem. Well, hold on a second. You just finished a few seconds ago from Pasuk Yud to Yudal, talking about Imin Atzon, carbono. If you bring an animal, carbono, here are the options. But if you bring a bird, carbono LaHashem, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, why when you bring a little bird, is it carbono LaHashem? And when you bring a big fat behema, it's only carbono? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, Tam Omro Karbono LaHashem, Mashalo Omer Kain Ba'olas Bakar V'tzon. Why dafka does it say LaHashem when it's a small little bird as opposed to the big animal? V'fishem Atzino Shehichshir HaKasu Ba'ov Bali Mumin Ka'om Ramzal Ein Zachris V'tambus Ba'ov. Again, he quotes from Toras Kahanim Kedushin Chavdalid, that Ein Zachrus V'tamus Ba'of. There is no obligation for Zachrus. A carbon ola has to be a male animal. If it's an animal. If it's a bird, it doesn't have to be a Zachar. It also doesn't have to what? Have Tamus. What's Tamus?
Perfection.
It can have a mum. So Im Cain. So you might think, here I'm bringing a Nakeva. It's a little bird. It's not even perfect. How good could this carbon possibly be? Says the Torah, Karbono LaHashem. Don't think it's not chashiv. Im kein tavo asvar lomar ki pachos hu karbon zeh, ki mumbo, ve'ein zeh begeder karbon LaHashem. Maybe this is not even called karbon LaHashem. LaZeh amar dafka Karbono LaHashem. Ki ein bo shum hadraga pachus l'sad b'china zu, Ve'ein roshem b'mumo kolikar. That mum is overlooked. And it's not any less in terms of its quality. It's not any less of a carbon. Of course the guy who's bringing a behemoth knows he's got Karbono LaHashem. But the person who's so self-conscious is bringing this little bird. He says, is mine also Karban Ola Hashem? So we say yes. The Torah signs off, yes. Yours is also Karban Ola Hashem. That's level one. Ah. Level two, maybe you're even more Karban Ola Hashem. The first Pshat Dor HaChaim levels the playing field. The second Pshat, he goes above and beyond. And what better Vart for us Jews, as we come to the last Shabbos in Galus. No? Sheol's coming.
Usher.
Sheol's coming. Ikvus of the Mashiach of Jews, we just need one last push. This is it. Ischazkus. The movement Ischazkus that Rav Kluger spoke to us about. Yeah? Yesh Olam. But we're going to make one last push to deny the world. Till we see the new world that's about to emerge. Od Yirtzal Derech Omro. Ve'ezdaka Ushval Ruach. Says Chazal in the Gemara in Sota, Ani es daka. I am with the one who is crushed. I am with the one who is humbled. Ulamanda Amar iti daka. And another opinion says what? Iti daka. The one who is crushed is with me. Machlokas in the Gemara. Interesting to think about. Is Hashem with us or are we with him? But it doesn't matter. Because a low Jew is Hashem's favorite Jew to hang out with. A low Jew is Hashem's favorite Jew to hang out with. Do you remember the Maisa with the Stipler Gon and that Bachar? You did?
He did.
You just said that?
Yes.
No, you want to tell it?
Joe.
The Stipler Gon, once a Bachar came to the Stipler Gon. Actually, that's not true. He was brought to the Stipler Gon. He was brought to the Stipler Gon because he was suicidal. And he was suicidal because he felt that he was the worst Jew who ever lived. He was terribly depressed, and he was terribly dakka, he was terribly crushed. Yeah? He felt completely crushed, because his Rebbeim told him he was no good, and he had zero success in his learning. He didn't have great intellectual abilities. He had a stutter. He was very embarrassed. He would break his teeth trying to read a little Mishnah, and he felt like, I'm never going to make it. And he's bouncing around from one yeshiva to the next, and it got to a point where he said, this is stupid, I'm going to kill myself. Luckily, his friends saved him in time and brought him to the Stipler Gaon for chizuk. How do you mechazik such a broken Jew? How do you fix such a broken clay? So the Stipler said to him, I swear to you, a shvua d'araisa. It's not a small thing to say. I swear to you, a shvua d'araisa. I'm prepared to swear to you, a shvua d'araisa, that when you break your teeth on a Mishnah, when you say shnayim ochsim betalis, even if you don't really understand what that means the way that I do, and it's hard for you to even get the words out because of your stutter. Hashem, he says, I promise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chol pamalya delay in the entire heavenly hosts, come, and they sit with you, and they learn with you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to every malach in Shemayim, I don't care about the Stipler Gon, I don't care about Roshach, I don't care about Mr. Zalman Meltzer, I could care less about the Briskerov. All I care about is that Bachar who's breaking his teeth on Eilam Mitzias Shalawar, Shnayim Osam Betalis. And the Bachar with tears in his eyes said to the Stipler, Lama, why is that so? It doesn't make any sense. Why would Hashem like me more than all those brilliant tzaddikim, gedolim? And the Stipler said, Kacha. Kacha, it is. And he asked him again, why? He said, Kacha, because it just is. So he said, Rabbi, I'm not makabel that. I need to know why. So he says, it's a medrash in Vayikra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the kings of the world, they like Kalim Na'im, they like nice fancy dishes and utensils, and you know, they host a royal feast. Kalim be Kalim Shonim. He says, but I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I, Melech Machem Lachem, like Kalim Shvurim. I like broken vessels. I like the broken vessels. Says the Orachayim HaKadosh, explaining the Gemara in Sota, Vezdaku Shval Ruach Ani Ezdaka. I am with the one who's crushed. Iti Daka. The one who's crushed is with me. And therefore Hashem says, I dafka put my name where? By the carbon oaf. Ki mi darko lahavi oaf? Who brings the oaf? An ani. He brings it b'shivron lev. Letzad mashu ani. Letzad mira carbon. He feels this is an offering. He sees his friend bringing a graisa behema to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he feels like a loser. V'kara lav ezdaka. But in his humility, we say to him, you're with Hashem. Yeah? How do you know? Lama kacha. Lama kacha. Lama? Because the Rechaim HaKadosh says so. Because the Torah says so. That if you bring an oaf, karbonola Hashem. Masha ein kein amakriv bokar vitzon. the guy who's bringing a big fancy offering to Hashem, shenafsho smecha alav bakravas davar haroy lischabed, he's bringing a chashuv thing. So he feels like he's a big shot. And he says, perhaps even more so, the Rachaim concludes, v'kiyotzi b'zed darshu b'zvachim, we find the same thing that it says in Zvachim, or maybe in Menachos, b'masha amar akasav v'mincha v'nefesh, that when you bring a mincha also, it's an offering of the soul, because there's no kavod in it. There's actually a lot of busha in it. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at that broken kli, that's my vessel of choice. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. To mitake in the chet of Adam Rishon, that we alluded to. Karbanos were given to us, right? Because we're not Adam Rishon. But we should remember what we saw in the Das Kanim also. We should remember what we saw in the Das Kanim, that we're not any less. Because we have a nefesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu, like we said, transmitted kol haTorah kulah to us. Whatever he got, he gave to us. We should believe that even our little offerings are very chashuv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amir Tashem will be zocha this year to eat the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, from here Rabbi Aminu.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Bye.